All right, let's try this again. Remember, there is no try. So do or do not. I made the mistake of looking at Instagram. I don't know, what is Trump starting something with Iraq? Or is it Iran? Something. I don't know, hold on. Is some politician doing something that I don't care about that might lead to World War III? Oh my God. Oh, fucking Christ. Could we just get it over with? Could we have the fucking war? There's World War III memes all over Instagram. I don't know what's going on. Honest to God, I don't give a fuck. Just the fucking retardation. You know what? I'm thankful for things today. You can scream and shout with all your might. I'm grateful for things today. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. I'm grateful that I have a flexible work schedule. I'm grateful that I'm not a fuckwit. Either you are wrong or I am right. And I'm grateful that I don't get my fucking panties in a wad every time I fucking see a meme on the internet. God, surrounded by morons. Morons. They're everywhere. They're fucking morons. Great one. You say you don't get your panties in a wad when you see a meme on the internet. Well, right now, it sounds like your panties are in a wad because you saw some memes on the fucking internet. So what the fuck? All right, well, that's a good point. You kind of got me on that one, didn't you? I am grateful that I have the smartest listeners on the planet Earth. I am, however, grateful for flexible schedules. I really am. I was supposed to, in theory, I was going to go into the office today over at Weyland Yutani and do some work, but I decided that I would instead, because everything I need to do involves planning and emailing and typing shit up on a computer, because we're getting ready to head out of town for a week. We're going up into the mountains, about a 5-hour drive from the People's Republic of Fort Collins. We're going to a gig way the fuck out in the middle of nowhere, and we're gonna be gone for a week, 7 days. So I'm gonna attempt to get ahead on the website here, on the podcasting and everything, so that everything can run on automatic while I'm gone. And by the way, welcome to the second podcast of the year of our Lord and Savior, Trump and Fuhrer 2020. So I am grateful for having a job that, not always, of course, because when we're running a gig, we have to be there to run the gig. But I am grateful for having a gig, for having a job that allows me flexibility to telecommute and work from home instead of fucking driving. Not that I have to drive very far. Also, I took today off specifically because this is supposed to be the warmest day in the near future. Looking at the 10-day forecast, today's supposed to get into the low 50s, and after that it's 30s and 40s for the next few days. And then we head out of town, so it doesn't matter what the weather is like because I'll be up in the mountains, probably freezing my ass off because it's up in the fucking mountains where the air is thinner and the temperature is colder. I don't know. I should probably look and see what the weather is going to be like where we're heading to, but it doesn't matter right now. Oh, I also need to do something else. Let me write this down real quick. I'm also, as part of the flexible schedule that I'm grateful for, I'm grateful for the fact that I can drink a Funkworks Tropic King Imperial Saison Ale at 1100 hours in the morning. And when I'm done recording this podcast, I don't know. I'm trying to decide. I think I'm going to finish this up, take a shower, do my shit, go out, run a few errands, see if there's any cute girls to talk to. Then I'll come back and do work. But all this could change. Beautiful flexibility. I am grateful for it. All right, I'm also grateful that, speaking of World War III, that we didn't get nuked out of existence in the 1950s or 60s due to the bizarre incompetence of the government. The same government that without which roads would not exist and warlords would take over. I want to talk a little bit more before I go to the main topic of today's podcast, about the book, The Doomsday Machine, by Daniel Ellsberg. So in the last episode, we ended up there where I was talking about how anybody could open the envelope and read the code. And you might say, well, great one, doesn't the code come from the president? Well, no, no, no. Because remember, communication problems. So if there's a scramble, now the code is not to scramble the bombers. Because, for example, any airbase at any time could have a drill where they scramble the bombers and they launch the bombers and they get the bombers in the air. And the bombers would, because, so if there's a scramble, and some of you probably know this shit, so I'm trying to straddle the line between giving enough information for people who don't know and not boring the fuck out of people who do know. So if there's an alert, because an alert is totally different from a go, you know, as in go meaning go drop the bombs, nuclear war, it's on. That's a go. Then that's my terminology, not necessarily the real terminology. But, and just like when I was in the military, I was in a rapid deployment force, the point of which is that we could be anywhere on the planet Earth and ready to fight within 48 hours. So when we were on alert, we would have drills where we'd get called and you'd go, you'd get on the airplane takes off and you circle around and then you find out it's just a drill and you land and you go back to what you were doing. If it's not a drill, you don't find out till you're in the air and then you're flying off to go wherever you have to go. So back with the nuclear bombers, they'd have a drill, right? They'd have an alert. So the crews run, they jump in your bomber, boom, you take off. You would fly to your designated rally point. Then you'd fly around in a circle. And you're waiting to get confirmation. Oh, this was a drill. Come back home. Or that this is it. Here's the code. And so the code going to the bomber, well, it's not coming from the president of the United States. It's coming from a guy in the tower. Furthermore, because of best was back in the days before satellites and all the shit we take for granted now when it comes to communication, again, because of weather, you could have there's a group of bombers circling at point A. There's another group of bombers circling at point B. There's another group of bombers circling at point C. So point A might be the closest to the airbase. So the airbase could radio the bombers and the bombers at A would pick them up fine, but the bombers at B couldn't really hear what's going on because of static interference, and the bombers at point C couldn't get anything. So part of the procedure is that if you're in bomber group at point A, you get the go code, right? So you open your envelope and you look in there and the code you were given matches the code in your envelope. You've got your orders to drop your bombs. So you get on the radio and you contact the other bomber groups. So you try to contact them and say, hey, did you guys get the message? And they'll say, well, no, we didn't, or we couldn't understand it. So you tell the bombers at point B, we got the code, and the code is 123456. And so those bombers, they open their envelopes and they look at their code. It says 123456. Oh, great. So then they would, and you would relay that down to anyone who didn't get the message. Well, the code in all the envelopes was the same. See, stupid people like me, I'm thinking, okay, well, each different bomber group has a different code or whatever. So, you know, no, 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 it's the same fucking code in all the envelopes. So once you have an alert, let's say you had a drill like that, you go up there, you got one fucking psycho. Now you might be saying, well, great one, it's on a bomber. There's multiple people on the bomber. Well, some of the nuclear weapons that were going to be delivered were delivered by single pilot fighter crafts. And that's a whole other story where you read the part in there about how the bombs on the single pilot fighter crafts, which didn't go in the fighter craft because it's too small, went underneath the fighter craft. They had to be really careful because if you accidentally bumped one too hard, it might accidentally go off. Like, oh, great. And okay, very statistically small chances. I understand that. But here's the thing. The statistical chance I want of a nuclear warhead accidentally going off is zero. When you tell me that the statistical chance of the warhead accidentally going off is 0.00001, okay, my answer to that is go fuck yourself, okay? That is too much. Because when you multiply by that number, by the number of warheads, which are in danger of being bumped 365 days a fucking year, and I'm saying, and don't give me, once again, don't misunderstand, I'm not some fucking peacenik, right? I know I'm a, oh, by great, aren't you an anarcho-capitalist? Aren't you in favor of open borders and anti-nuclear? No, that's not an anarcho-capitalist. That's a faggot that you're describing, okay? No, I am not in favor of open borders. And no, I am not against nuking people. I am against stupidity, otherwise known as the government. I'm like, fucking Christ. So they didn't do drills with the fighter craft that had the bombs on the bottom because the simple act of the airplane taking off and landing presented such a risk of accidentally setting off one of the nuclear bombs that the Air Force deliberately did not do drills for those aircraft with those bombs. Okay, if you're telling me that it's so dangerous to take off and land with a nuclear bomb that it might accidentally go off, what you're telling me is you're incompetent, because you need to fix that shit. Before you start spending all this money trying to figure out how you're going to bomb the Soviet Union and China, first, you better make the bombs where they don't fucking go off accidentally. That's step number one. But then again, who would build the roads, right? I mean, warlords. Warlords would take over. So anyway, all the envelopes have the same code, including, so any of these fighter pilots up there could have pulled out his envelope, read the code to the other ones, and they would have gone and bombed something. Some nutcase back at the base, you know, could have walked into the control tower, shot everybody in the control tower, open the envelope, read the code on the radio, the bombers get the code, they fly off and bomb the Soviet Union, or China, or both. So there's two ways to look at this. I'm not really sure offhand which one is right. Way number one, because remember, this was back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the patriarchy days, when heterosexual white men were in control of everything. One way of looking at it is, this is the system that a bunch of heterosexual white men came up with. Goddamn, were they stupid. And that's a legitimate perspective. The other way of looking at it is, this is the system that was implemented by a bunch of heterosexual white men, and despite all the opportunity to fuck up and accidentally start a nuclear war, or for one psycho, one fucking psycho, to open an envelope and read a code number into a radio. I mean, that's all it would have taken. That's it. And somehow, heterosexual white men got us through that without a nuclear war. So heterosexual white men are either the greatest geniuses ever or the biggest fuck-ups ever, depending on which of those you want to go with. And where I would go at that today is, I'm going to fall more on the side of geniuses. The heterosexual white men who created this plan are clearly morons, right? And this Daniel Ellsberg guy, I mean, I don't know anything about him personally. I'm sure he's a leftist. I'm sure he's a peacenik. I'm sure he voted for Hillary Clinton Yeah, I'm sure he's a fucking believes in open borders and diversity, and he probably thinks trannies are wonderful and all this other horseshit. Yeah, I forgot exactly why that was relevant to what I was about to say. All the heterosexual white men who created this plan are clearly not very bright. But they were also members of the government and high-ranking people in the military. So we kind of expect that. The heterosexual white men who implemented the plan and lived the plan day to day and were the ones actually flying the airplanes with the nuclear weapons and the ones who actually had the envelope in their hands and didn't just open the envelope. You know, the fact that they all maintained their sanity and didn't do anything stupid is somewhat impressive. Contrast that to, and so let's draw another parallel before I go on. Remember back in the old days when you brought your rifle to school, your rifle to public school for like marksmanship training and stuff? Not training, but whatever. You know, you'd see the pictures, little 14-year-old kids bringing their rifle to school. You know why? Because they could be trusted with a rifle in school. Because we didn't have school shootings, because we didn't have all these single mothers. So in the 40s and 50s and 60s, we had all these fucking nuclear weapons flying around. Now all you had to do was open an envelope and blow up the world. And yet it didn't happen. You know why? Because you could trust the United States military, once again, heterosexual white men, with the nuclear weapons. Nowadays, the military, the same military, and I'm sure the fail-safe systems are so much better now because, my God, we have computers. We have Google. Yeah, I'm sure there's no problems in the nuclear control system anymore in the military. I'm sure there's no way the nuclear weapons can't possibly be launched unless the President of the United States himself personally, you know, sticks his finger in the socket or something. I'm sure it's completely foolproof. You know, everything is controlled by computers running Microsoft Windows, and God knows there's no such thing as computer viruses. So I'm sure all of these problems are fixed. And our military today is filled with, and we'll start with homosexuals, but that's the least of our problems. Women. Trannies. I mean, people who are mentally ill, and I don't just mean trannies. I mean, the people with the ADHD and the anxieties. I mean, how many people in the military are on medication for their personalities? How many people in the military have depression and anxiety and social anxiety and ADHD? And how many of those people have access to nuclear weapons? But I know, I understand, guys. We've got to have the government or there'd be no roads. And warlords would take over. Warlords. We can't trust individual citizens with nuclear weapons. But we can totally, 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 serially trust people with ADHD and anxiety with the codes to not one nuclear weapon, but hundreds of them. So as terrifying as this book is, it's a great read. I mean, it is really fucking fascinating. I very, very, very highly recommend reading this book. I'm on page 146. book is, let's see, that's notes. He's got a lot of notes. His sources, the shit is sourced. It's 350. God, I can't talk, read. I can't even tell the difference between reading and talking. It's 350 pages long. So that's how far along I am in the book. Really recommend reading it. And it's interesting too, because what he does, how he got involved in all this, is basically he was sent in to look for problems and he was given this clearance of talk to anybody, go anywhere, ask anything, which is almost unheard of. And so he talks about how he's going in and talking to these people and talking about things that's never been talked about with the civilian before. Oh, and he goes on about all these things about the nuclear war planning that not even the president or the secretary of defense even know about. It's just, again, like if you are some kind of liberal hippie peacenik, it'll terrify the shit out of you. And of course, the problem is that even though all of these things done by the government will terrify the shit out of you, you still will, of course, have to support the government, because the government is the only vehicle by which you can take money away from other people and give it to yourself. And that's one of the reasons I despise liberals so fucking much. It's because liberals can't shut up about how evil the government is, but liberals are the absolute... If there's no government, liberals will be the first group of people to die, because the only way liberals can exist is with other people's money. And if you don't have a government to take money away from other people for the liberals, they're not going to take money away from other people themselves, because that would involve work. You would also, to do that, need guns. Liberals don't have guns. And so, once again, those of you cuckservatives out there, you know, if you before you're ever going to convince me that you're serious about saving Western civilization and defeating liberalism, the first thing you have to do is get on board with getting rid of the government. Because as long as government exists, the government will always take money away from producers and give it to parasites. Even for those of you who worship Hitler and are going to implement, which you still haven't explained to me how you're going to do this, your National Socialist government is going to take money away from producers and give it to parasites. There is no government that has ever existed that did not tax people who made money and transfer the tax money to people who didn't make money. That government has never existed, because that is the primary function of government. If you have an entity that doesn't tax and then give the money to other people, I don't know what it is, but that's not even a government. All right, give me a couple of seconds here. I'm going to pause this. I'm going to take care of something real fast. And just like that, I'm back. You didn't even miss me, did you? God, it's like, yes. All right. Hell am I on time? Oh, boy, I got all the time in the world. Actually, here's the thing. Oh, hang on. Let me do show notes. So we talked about Doomsday Machine again. All right. We actually don't have all the time in the world, because you see, I have in front of me, this is what we're going to round this episode out with. I have in front of me three issues of National... Hold on. Okay, I think we're back. My voice is taking a shit for whatever reason. I have in front of me three issues of National Geographic magazine. August, September, and November of 2019, the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer. Does anybody remember when National Geographic magazine was... Now, depending on your age, you primarily remember National Geographic magazine as a place where you could see pictures of boobies. because the photographers would go to all the African countries where the women walk around topless like they claim they want to do here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, although I still haven't seen any topless women, which is probably a good thing considering the piercings and tattoos and fatness. But National Geographic would have all the pictures of the women from Africa. They wouldn't be wearing tops, and their tits would be hanging out. And you'd be like, oh my God, boobies. This is all very exciting. If you were in junior high school, this was very exciting. Boobies, yay. Now, it's just a propaganda. We all remember when they had the little tranny boy on the front. Okay. Guys, and we can't go deep into this because how long do I got here? Yeah, we got time, but not that much time. All right, here's the September issue, September 2019. The Arctic is heating up. That's the fucking cover story with a picture of a melted ice cap. The new Cold War as the ice melts. Old rivals scramble for position. The Caribbean threat. Thawing tundra will speed up global warming. Okay, so the entire issue. I mean, look, we go through the issue here. Here we got this guy who reforms the toughest dogs. Here's what I want to know. Now listen to this. The most aggressive, dangerous, and misunderstood canines, the ones that most trainers won't touch, are the dogs that Matt Biesner above takes on. Since transforming his own bad behaviors, Biesner says he has dedicated his life to helping owners learn how to handle their dogs, as well as to rescuing and rehabilitating animals that others turn away. Why don't you just euthanize the fucking dogs? All right. I mean, we euthanize. Why don't you just abort them? If the dog is poorly behaved, why don't you abort it? I mean, that's a woman's choice, right? Abort the fucking dog. All right, anyway. La la la, la 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 la. That's something we're going to do later. Oh my God. And then, so we got this massive fucking advertisement. Activate the global citizen movement. Dare to change the world. National Geographic and Procter and Gamble. It says up here, this is partner content from P&G. Procter and Gamble, a multi-billion dollar international corporation, is virtue signaling how they're saving the world. Here we see it's full color full page advertisements. Here we got a black woman and her baby. Here we got a bunch of fucking India dot people. Here we got a bunch of trees. Sourcing responsibly and saving forest. Oh my God. See, I didn't read any of this. Real change can start with you. Watch the Activate documentary series on National Geographic Channel starting September 5th. Oh my God. Okay. Here we got a picture of a black man and a half black, half white girl who is presented as his daughter. Hey, at least he's wearing a wedding ring. At least they're married, right? At this point in our civilization's collapse, that's a major step for parents to just be married. Talking about racial bias. This is sponsored by Procter and Gamble, a multi-billion dollar corporation that sells Tide. We know that because here's a picture of here is a picture of a chubby slash slightly fat, somewhere in between, almost white guy with a neck beard wearing a Tide t-shirt carrying Bounty paper towels. And it's about providing hope in times of disaster. Right, see, this is Procter & Gamble. Providing hope in times of disaster by advertising their products. And I'm looking through this. This is, how many pages is this? Wait, here's one. Oh, I found one. I found one. Wait, is it really? Or let me look at the picture. Good, because it's kind of hard to tell. Give me a second. It's borderline. It's borderline. Okay, let's go back. Out of. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 pages. In the 10 pages, there's photographs. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. We have 30 people in the photographs. 30 people. One white man. One. The 29 other people, none of them are white men. One white man. What is the message here? I wonder. I can't figure it out. Oh, here we go. Reducing plastic waste to save our oceans. Oh, and here's two non-white men on the beach picking up plastic water bottles. Who is it that uses plastic water bottles? Oh yeah, liberals. But they're recyclable. Well, why do they keep ending up in the ocean then, you stupid bitch? Let's get back to this. Let's talk about race. Here I thought we were going to talk about global warming. Talking about racial bias. I haven't read this. I have no idea what's coming. While some racial bias is conscious, much is unconscious. See, you can't help being racist. It's unconscious. Even if you think you're woke, you're still racist because it's unconscious. Now, of course, this desperate need to believe in global warming, your desire for other people's money, your laziness, your parasitism, you know, those things couldn't possibly be unconscious. Or could they not possibly be conscious? I don't know. Because here's the thing. Let's say that you're let's say you majored in sociology. And you think you're entitled to a job. I don't care if you were stupid enough to major in sociology and you think you're entitled to a job, consciously or unconsciously. It doesn't fucking matter. You're still a parasite and you should still be allowed to starve to death and die. While some racial... While some racial bias is conscious, much is unconscious and can be impacted and shaped by images in entertainment, advertising, and media, which is why we just gave you pictures of 30 people and made sure only one of them was white. There's no white women. Let me see if that's true. Let me look again. See, she's not. See, and again, it's all mixed. These are debatable. No, actually, I'm not going to say either of those. None of those women are white. They're Latinas. I'm sorry. What's the PC word for Latinas this week? That's right. Colored people. I mean, people of color. Yeah. No. There's nothing going on here. There's no attempt by media or advertising to manipulate people's racial thinking happening here. How communities see each other can lead to life-changing personal and societal consequences, especially for people of color and impoverished communities. What does that mean? How communities see each other? Communities don't have consciousness. Individual people have consciousness. Communities don't fucking... What does this mean? Oh, here we go. Although talking about it can be uncomfortable, Conversations about bias are long overdue and can lead to real understanding and action. I love when these fucking pieces of filth talk about how we need to have conversations about race. What they mean is you need to agree with them. Because if I explain to you that colored people are not oppressed and are in fact have all sorts of privileges the rest of us don't have, I'm going to get fired from my job. Okay, that's why we don't have a fucking conversation about race. We're not having a conversation. This is not you wanting to have a conversation. This is you wanting to force other people to think and behave the way you want them to think and to participate in the extermination of white people. And if, once again, if I say that, I get fired from my job. So no, we're not going to have a fucking conversation about race, Procter and Gamble. Procter and Gamble believes in using their voice in advertising as a force for good by addressing important societal issues while ensuring positive, accurate portrayals of all people. So that's what Procter & Gamble is doing. They're not trying to make a profit so their shareholders can make money. They're not trying to provide the best product in exchange for the money their customers give them. No, no, no. They are trying to use their voice in advertising to address important societal issues while ensuring positive, accurate portrayals of all people. Look. If I wash my clothes with Tide laundry detergent, are the clothes going to come out clean and undamaged? How about we focus on that? Instead of worrying about whether black people are accurately and fairly portrayed in a fucking advertisement. They're what? Oh my God. Hold, I need a minute. Okay. I had no idea this was going to be this good. Their newest film, The Look, follows a black man in America throughout his day as he encounters a variety of looks is in quotes, that symbolize a barrier to acceptance and differing levels of bias. When did you black men become such fucking fragile pussies? I'm just curious. When did black men go from being some of the most masculine people, men, so I put people in there. When did black men go from being some of the most masculine men on the planet Earth to being total pussies? He's encountering looks. Encountering looks. He encounters a variety of looks that symbolize a barrier to acceptance. Okay, I have to see this. I'm sure this is on YouTube. Give me a second. I don't know who this chick is that keeps popping up on my YouTube, but she's kind of fucking hot. And some chick who plays the drums. I mean, she looks kind of bangable. Let's see. P and G. The look. Oh, yeah. There it comes right up. How long is it? Oh, we can do this. It's only an hour 45. I mean, an hour. 1 minute, 45 seconds. Okay. He looks depressed so far. He got out of bed. What's this? Oh, fucking please. All right, we have gone way beyond. Hold on, I gotta move the microphone. We have gone way beyond anything that I cannot fucking comment on. My God, this is just horse shit. Okay. All right. Now, first of all, the black man in our commercial. So, he wakes up in bed. I'll put the link to this. He's clean cut, he's got beard, mustache, very close shaved, close trimmed, whatever you call it. No fucking dreadlocks. He got hair, close cut. All right. I mean, we see him in bed, shoulders and up. Doesn't look overweight. I mean, not like, he's not built like Ed Latimer, but he ain't no pussy either. I mean, look, guys, looks in good shape. Okay, here he is walking down the street. In the background, there's some Asian people. There's some white people. He's not in the ghetto. Walking down the street, he's wearing pants and a shirt and a coat and a hat. He's dressed in all black. He's got his son with him. Well, we assume it's his son. We don't really know. He's got his son with him. Son is wearing normal stuff. He's got his backpack on. It's not a transparent backpack, so maybe it's filled with bombs or something. Who knows? Maybe he's a terrorist. But I mean, okay, they're walking down the street. His son sees a little, she's not even white. She's half-breed. His son sees a little half-white girl in the back seat of a car, and he waves to the little girl. The little girl waves back to him. Now, in the front seat of the car is a woman, because we know women are so tolerant and loving and compassionate, and if women ran the world, everything would be perfect because, well, women are perfect. In the front seat of the car is a woman. And she's kind of in the dark. She looks like she might be white. And you can see the scowl on her face. She's probably a feminist because she doesn't look happy. She does have long hair, but she looks very unhappy. And she looks over and she sees the black child waving to her child. And she looks back and forth and she has this look of disgust on her face. And she's rolling up the windows of the car. Because, you know, we're here in the middle of fucking white Asia town, and there's this one black guy over there. Oh, but he's wearing a hoodie, so maybe he's a gangsta. So we gotta roll up the windows of our car. Now, here's the thing. How often, and this as we go forward and we see this, because remember, I have no idea what's coming. How often do you think this happens in the real world? This is like, remember when I read the thing from the CSU Collegian where some black woman said that some white guy came up to her on campus and called her a nigger? And I said, no, he didn't, because the number of times, not only that that's happened in the real world, okay? So first, in the United States of America, how often does a white person walk up to a black person they've never seen before in their life and call them a nigger? Now, how often does that happen among the millennial generation? Now, how often does that happen on a college campus? Now, how often does that happen on CSU campus where white people have PCism shoved down their throat all day long? Okay? The number of times any white person has called a black person a nigger on CSU campus is zero. I know you're making that up. The number of times that some bitchy white woman in the middle of white land Whiteville here has seen a black guy walking down the street and rolled up her windows because she's afraid of him because he's black is zero, because women are perfect. Let me finish reading this from the advertisement. So it says, encounters a variety of looks that symbolize a barrier to acceptance and differing levels of bias. Through this effort, Procter & Gamble hopes to drive conversations that lead to understanding, what? Who proofread this? Procter & Gamble hopes to drive conversations that lead to understanding, develop empathy, you mean developing empathy, and help activate change. My God, could you people, instead of producing fucking propaganda films about how all black people are being fucking discriminated against, why don't you hire a fucking editor to proof your fucking copy before you put it in a fucking national magazine, you fuckwits? To learn more about how P&G is leading this conversation, visit talkaboutbias.com. Holy fucking hell. All right, we got to get on this if we're going to finish this video, because God knows what's happening next. All right, so then he kind of looks at her like, you're a bitch. And she is a bitch. I mean, you saw the look on her face. She's a bitch. All right, so now the guy, he's in an office building. And once again, he's in an office building. He's very nicely dressed, good looking man, does not look like a hoodlum, no crack pipe. And he's holding up his hand to catch an elevator. Oh my God. Oh, the little white millennial boy like gives him this nasty look and closes the elevator doors before the black guy can get on the elevator. No, but hold on. I thought millennials were like all unbiased and tolerant and diverse. So he's white, of course. All right. So now we're having breakfast. Oh God. All right. So now our black man is in a diner. Oh my God. Where is he at? Okay. This... All right, you want to see fucking racism and stereotyping? Look at the people in this diner. This is fucking trailer park Whiteville trash. This is totally, I mean, we are right here. We are fucking biasing against the South and white people. Oh my God, a little blonde white girl is looking in his direction. She's like, I don't want to sit over there next to the black guy. Oh, now he's in the swimming pool teaching his kid how to swim, and the little white boys are looking at him. I mean, no. See, no, when really? He's walking through a store and all the white people are looking at him like he's going to steal shit or something. I mean, fucking please. And here's, look, guys. Black men. If you've actually lost this much of your testosterone, and if you actually think that every white person around you hates you and is racist, why don't you leave? God, this is just... Well, great one, you're not black. No, I'm not. And that's how I know that this doesn't happen, because I don't look at, I don't sit around staring at black people like they're going to race me. Staring at black people like they're going to like do anything to me. Now, if you're dressed like a fucking hoodlum, but then if you're white and you're dressed like a fucking hoodlum, I'm going to look at you the same way. What is this? All rise. Is that what, he's in a court? Okay, so it's... Oh. All right, so he's a judge. That's why we're in the court, because you see, he's the judge. And yet, oh, he's so discriminated against. Oh my God, everyone's looking at him. Let's talk about the look so we can see beyond it. See, it doesn't matter how successful you are as a black man. You could be a judge. You could go to law school and graduate and become a judge and make important decisions, and you're still going to be discriminated against because white people are just that discriminatory. There's nothing you can do to overcome the discrimination. So that's why you need to talk about how fucking biased everybody is. You need to talk about how oppressed you are because you're black. You need to buy Procter & Gamble products. You know, you need to go to our website and spread our video around so that we can advertise to other people and virtue signal. And this is why I really have a hard time believing that women and blacks and browns are really all that smart. Because if you get discriminated against that much by white people, why don't you go some, or white men, I should say, in the case of the women's, why don't you go someplace where there are no white men's, right? There's entire places, Asia, Africa, at the rate it's going, Australia, Adam Piggott's house, where there are no white men. Go someplace where there's no white men. Why is this so hard? I mean, you're also strong and independent. I mean, the guy's got a fucking law degree. He's a judge. He could go anywhere in the world and get a job, right? And women, I mean, fuck you women, you could go any place. Are you feminist? If you're discriminated so much against white men and the patriarchy, well, take your fucking master's degree in sociology and go someplace where there's no patriarchal white men and fucking follow your dreams. And the money will follow. There's all these groups of people out there. They're just so oppressed by the white man. And yet you surround yourselves by white men. Because it's all part of the victim Olympics. Oh my God, look how oppressed I am. Oh, no, as oppressed as I am. Oh, but I'm more oppressed than you are. Oh, but somebody looked at me the other day. Oh, my God, someone looked at me. No, I was looked at twice. Somebody didn't want to sit next to me. Oh, my God, I'm oppressed. And then you can't figure out why heterosexual white men are sick of your shit. We're sick of being told we're racist all the fucking time. And that's how you got Donald Trump. You're welcome. Go fuck yourselves. Well, we didn't even remotely get through those three issues of National Geographic because we totally got sidelined. I guess we know what the next episode of Stating the Obvious is going to be about.